Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com, beaconbaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue our examination of Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. It starts in verse 9 of Colossians 1, and it continues at least through verse 15, and perhaps farther, depending on how you categorize the verses that follow. But verses 9 through 15 are very clearly part of Paul's recorded prayer and contain a number of petitions that are very instructive. The first petition is that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. The second one is that they will walk worthy of the Lord. And the third one, the one that we are examining at this time, is that they will be strengthened with all power. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And so Paul is praying that the Colossians will have the divine power they need to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given them to fulfill. It's as simple as that. God commands us to do a number of things. God supplies the power that we need to do it as we seek it from him in prayer. And so let's continue our study of this prayer on this Thursday, November 12, and we thank you for helping us with the financial costs of airing this broadcast on this station. Well, the purpose for this power is what I want to talk about today. The petition, again, was strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and then it says, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like the purpose for which most of us would desire power from God. But that's what Paul says. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, some would be happy to pray for God to give them power that they might be able to work signs and wonders and miracles. But that's not why Paul prayed for power for the Colossian church. Others would pray that God would give power to achieve financial success and earthly achievement. But again, that's not why Paul prayed for the Colossian believers to have God's divine power. He prayed that they might have this power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Let's break that down. First of all, he prayed that God would give them divine power so that they might have all patience, and that word that is often translated patience in our New Testament scriptures really has more the idea of perseverance, endurance, perseverance in the face of difficult circumstances, ability to endure trials, to bear adversity. Isn't that interesting? Again, Paul is praying that they will receive divine enablement, divine power, in order to face difficult circumstances, to endure trials, to bear adversity. Wait a minute. Why doesn't Paul just pray for God to remove these difficult circumstances, to take away their trials, to remove the adversity which they are experiencing? But you see, Paul knows that God brings these very things into our lives for divinely appointed purposes. Paul knows that. Do you know that? You will know that if you read your Bible carefully, but you won't know that if you only listen to a certain style of televangelist, some of whom will tell you that it's not God's will for his children to suffer trials. They will tell you that if you will have enough faith, you won't have to have any adversity. You won't have to have difficult circumstances. That God doesn't want you to get sick. That God doesn't want you to have financial problems. That God doesn't want you to have opposition to the goals that you have for your life. They will tell you that if you will have enough faith and follow the formula, and particularly in most cases, if you will closely follow their ministry and support it financially, that you won't have any of these things into your life, in your life. Strange that the Apostle Paul didn't know about that. That the Apostle Paul didn't know about that. But conversely, Paul knows that trials are appointed by God for good purposes, and that we will not make much progress in grace, growing in grace and knowledge, unless we have trials. So he doesn't pray that the Colossians will be spared from trials. He prays that God will give them divine enablement to endure them gracefully, or maybe I should say graciously, that they will endure them in a Christ-honoring way. That's Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. That's my prayer for myself, dear friend. I don't pray for God to keep me from having trials. I've learned better than that. I pray that God will help me to face my trials in a God-honoring way. What else does Paul pray for? Long-suffering. Not only patience, but long-suffering. You say, what is long-suffering? Very simple. It means to suffer long. Got it? To suffer long towards people who irritate you. To suffer with emotional calm rather than with anger or with retaliation. To suffer long without wrath, without revenge. That the Colossians will learn to suffer under their trials with an attitude like Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not in return, who did not get angry when he was mistreated, even painfully mistreated, but instead endured that suffering with long-suffering. And that's the way Christ endured his sufferings and the example that he set for us in this, that he is an example for us that we should follow in his steps, says Peter. And Paul is praying that the Colossians might be given not only the power to endure trials, but the long-suffering, persevering attitude, that they may view their trials in the long term rather than the short term, and to bear them with patient perseverance and endurance and with all long-suffering. And that's the other word, all. Notice that. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power for all patience. And the word all could be inserted again before long-suffering, because in the Greek it goes with both words. So all patience and all long-suffering. For the greatest possible patience and the greatest possible long-suffering. That's what Paul prays for the Colossian church, but it doesn't stop there, because there's one more phrase that needs to be understood and attached. It is attached and therefore needs to be understood. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. With joy. That's the attitude with which we are to face trials. With joy. In the Greek construction, that is emphatic. Paul praise that the Colossians will face their trials with perseverance and long-suffering and joyfully all the way throughout. Joyful endurance, joyful long-suffering, not mere stoicism, but spiritual joy. What is stoicism? Well, stoicism is the attitude that you can just suppress your emotions and lower your head, as it were, and walk into the blustery cold wind and face it stoically, without feeling it, without communicating an emotional response to it, to not get angry, to not get anxious, to not respond to these difficulties in any particular way except just to be a rock of Gibraltar and to let the trials crash around you and you sit there unmoved by them. But that's really not the biblical way. The Bible doesn't tell us that we should not be moved by our trials. The Bible tells us that we should not be swept away by them. We should not be moved in the sense that we stay anchored to the Word of God, but to be moved in our soul, to feel sorrow at the appropriate time, and to feel joy at the appropriate time, that's not dishonoring, that is honoring to the Lord. And here Paul prays specifically that they might be able to face their difficulties with joy. Spiritual joy, which is different from happiness. Happiness is more surface. Joy is more deep. Joy is on the inside. Joy is deep down, like Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. In other words, that trial, which is far greater than any trial I've ever faced, and I've had some pretty good ones, pretty strong ones, but nothing like what Christ faced in going to the cross. But Christ faced that trial with joy, incredible as it seems. Well, how do you do that? Through the strength that God supplies. That's what Paul is praying for, that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they will walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, and then this one, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. That's how you face your trials, with persevering endurance, with long-suffering patience, and even with joy, through the strength that God supplies. Now, none of us like trials, and very few of us, probably none of us, always display the right attitude in the midst of our trials. But that's why there is a throne of grace. That's why we can pray, like Paul prayed. We can petition the throne of grace to give us what is needed, not only to endure our trials without them destroying us, but to actually do so with joy in our souls as we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. And of course, we must continue to soak in the ministry of God's word, which really takes us back to the first petition again, being filled with the knowledge of his will. And it is as we understand the word of God better that we will be able to face our trials better, more joyfully, in a more Christ-honoring way. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, said James, and that's what Paul is praying for here. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.